Let me offer my obeisances to Lord Nityananda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose opulence is wonderful and unlimited. By his will, even the fool can understand his identity. Oh, actually, I could just be reading the chapter summary, right? The not chapter summary. Isn't... Do they have that in...
If there is one, they have it.
Yeah. Contents and translation. Yeah. Glories of Lord Nityananda. Yeah, that's easier. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all glories to Lord Nityananda, all glories to Advaita Acharya, and all glories to the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I have described the glory of Sri Krishna Chaitanya in 6 verses. Now in 5 verses I shall describe the glory of Lord Nityananda. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is the fountainhead of all incarnations. Lord Balaram is his second body. These two are one and the same identity. They differ only in form. Lord Balaram is the first bodily expansion of Krishna, and he assists in Lord Krishna's transcendental pastimes. That original Lord Krishna appeared in Navadvipa as Lord Chaitanya, and Balaram appeared with him as Lord Nityananda. May Sri Nityananda Ram be the object of my constant remembrance. Shankarshan, Sheshanag, and the Vishnus who lie on the Karna ocean, Garbha ocean, and ocean of milk are his plenary portions and portions of his plenary portions. Lord Balaram is the original Shankarshan. He assumes 5 other forms to serve Lord Krishna. He himself helps in the pastimes of Lord Krishna, and he does the work of creation in 4 other forms. He executes the orders of Lord Krishna in the work of creation, and in the form of Lord Shesha, he serves Krishna in various ways. In all the forms, he tastes the transcendental bliss of serving Krishna. That same Balaram is Lord Nityananda, the companion of Gaur Sundar. I have explained the 7th verse in 4 subsequent verses. By these verses, all the world can know the truth of Lord Nityananda. I surrender unto the lotus feet of Sri Nityananda Ram, who is known as Shankarshan, in the midst of the Chaturvyuha, consisting of Vasudev, Shankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. He possesses full opulences and resides in Vaikuntha Loka, far beyond the material creation. Beyond the material nature lies the realm known as Parivyoma, the spiritual sky. Like Lord Krishna himself, it possesses all transcendental attributes, such as the 6 opulences. That Vaikuntha region is all-pervading, infinite, and supreme. It is the residence of Lord Krishna and his incarnations. In the highest region of that spiritual sky is a spiritual planet called Krishna Loka. It has 3 divisions, Dwarka, Mathura, and Gokula. Sri Gokula, the highest of all, is also called Raja, Goloka, Swetadweep, and Vrindavan. Like the transcendental body of Lord Krishna, Gokula is all-pervading, infinite, and supreme. It expands both above and below without any restriction. That abode is manifested within the material world by the will of Lord Krishna. It is identical to that original Gokula. They are not 2 different bodies. The land there is touchstone, Chintanami, and the forests abound with desire trees. Material eyes see it as an ordinary place. But with the eyes of love, one can see its real identity as the place where Lord Krishna performs his pastimes with the cowherd boys and the cowherd girls. I worship Lord Vinda, the primeval Lord, the first progenitor, who is tending cows, yielding all desires in abodes built with spiritual gems, and surrounded by millions of purpose trees. He is always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. You know how to
work.
Just after Govinda.
Lord Krishna manifests his own form in Mathura and Dwarka. He enjoys pastimes in various ways by expanding into the quadruple forms. Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha are the primary quadruple forms from whom all other quadruple forms are manifested. They are all purely transcendental. Only in these 3 places, Dwarka, Mathura, and Gokula, does the all-sporting Lord Krishna perform his endless pastimes with his personal associates. In the Vaikuntha planets of the spiritual sky, the Lord manifests his identity as Narayan and performs pastimes in various ways. Krishna's own form is only two hands, but in the form of Lord Narayan, he has four hands. Lord Narayan holds a conch shell, disc, club, and lotus flower, and he is full of great opulence. The Shri, Bhu, and Nila energies serve at his lotus feet. Although his pastimes are his only characteristic functions, by his causeless mercy, he performs one activity for the fallen souls. He delivers the fallen living entities by offering them the four kinds of liberation, Sadokya, Samipya, Sharshti, and Sarupya. Those who attain Brahma's Sayuja liberation cannot gain entrance into Vaikuntha. Their residence is outside the Vaikuntha planets. Outside the Vaikuntha planets is the atmosphere of the glowing effulgence, which consists of the supremely bright rays of the body of Lord Krishna. That region is called Siddhaloka, and it is beyond the material nature. Its essence is spiritual, but it does not have spiritual varieties. It is like the homogeneous effulgence around the sun, but inside the sun are the chariots, horses, and other opulences of the sun god. As through devotion to the Lord one can attain his abode, many have attained the goal by abandoning their sinful activities and absorbing their minds in the Lord through lust, envy, fear, or affection. Where it has been stated that the Lord's enemies and devotees attain the same destination, this refers to the ultimate oneness of Brahman and Lord Krishna. This may be understood by the analogy of the sun and the sunshine, in which Brahman is like the sunshine and Krishna himself is like the sun. Thus, in the spiritual sky, there are varieties of pastimes within the spiritual energy. Outside, the Vaikuntha planets appears in personal reflection of light.
Maharaj, it doesn't know how to handle computers. And a little concerned if you had any.
I thought you might be able to.
I've got a one volume CC.
Huh?
I've got a one volume CC in the room.
Where did you end? Oh, it's in personal reflection of light.
Number 3538.
The impersonal Brahman effulgence consists only of the effulgent rays of the Lord. Those fit for Sayuja liberation merge into that effulgence. Beyond the region of ignorance, the material cosmic manifestation, lies the realm of Siddhaloka. The Siddhas reside there, absorbed in the bliss of Brahman. Demons killed by the Lord also attain that realm. In that spiritual sky, on the four sides of Narayan, are the second expansions of the quadruple expansions of Dwarka. Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Adiruddha constitute this second quadruple. They are purely transcendental. There, in the spiritual sky, the personal feature of Balaram called Mahasankarshan is the shelter of the spiritual energy. He is the primary cause, the cause of all causes. One variety of the pastimes of the spiritual energy is described as pure goodness, Vishuddha Sattva. It comprises all the abodes of Vaikuntha. The six attributes are all spiritual. Know for certain that they are all manifestations of the opulence of Sankarshan. There is one marginal potency, known as the Jiva. Mahasankarshan is the shelter of all jivas. Sankarshan is the original shelter of the Purusha for whom this world is created and in whom it is dissolved. He, Sankarshan, is the shelter of everything. He is wonderful in every respect, and his opulences are infinite. Even Ananta cannot describe his glory. That Sankarshan, who is transcendental pure goodness, is a partial expansion of Nityananda Balaram. I have briefly explained the eighth verse. Now please listen with attention as I explain the ninth verse. I offer my full obeisances unto the feet of Sri Nityananda Ram, whose partial representation called Karanadhara Karana Dakshaya Vishnu, lying on the Karana ocean, is the original Purusha, the master of the illusory energy and the shelter of all the universes. Outside the Vaikuntha planets is the impersonal Brahman effulgence, and beyond that effulgence is the Karana ocean, or causal ocean. Surrounding Vaikuntha is a mass of water that is endless, unfathomed, and unlimited. The earth, water, fire, air, and ether of Vaikuntha are all spiritual. Material elements are not found there. The water of the Karana ocean, which is the original cause, is therefore spiritual. The sacred Ganges, which is but a drop of it, purifies the fallen souls. In that ocean lies a plenary portion of Lord Sankarshan. He is known as the first Purusha, the creator of the total material energy. He, the cause of the universes, the first incarnation, casts his glance over Maya. Maya Shakti resides outside the Karana ocean. Maya cannot touch its waters. Maya has two varieties of existence. One is called Pradhan, or Prakriti. It supplies the ingredients of the material world. Because Prakriti is dull and inert, it cannot actually be the cause of the material world. But Lord Krishna shows his mercy by infusing his energy into the dull, inert material nature. Thus, Prakriti, by the energy of Lord Krishna, becomes the secondary cause, just as iron becomes red hot by the energy of fire. Therefore, Lord Krishna is the original cause of the cause of manifestation. Prakriti is like the nipples on the neck of a goat, for they cannot give any milk. The Maya aspect of material nature is the immediate cause of the cosmic manifestation, but it cannot be the real cause, for the original cause is Lord Narayana. Just as the original cause of an earthen pot is the potter, so the creator of the material world is the first Purusha incarnation, Karana Namashaya Vishnu. Lord Krishna is the creator, and Maya only helps him as an instrument, just like the potter's wheel and other instruments, which are the instrumental causes of the pot. The first Purusha casts his glance at Maya from a distance, and thus he impregnates her with the seed of life in the form of the living entities. The reflected rays of his body mix with Maya, and thus Maya gives birth to myriad universes. Purusha enters each and every one of the countless universes. He manifests himself in as many separate forms as there are universes. When the Purusha exhales, the universes are manifested with each outward breath. Thereafter, when he inhales, all the universes again enter his body. Just as atomic particles of dust pass through the openings of a window, so the networks of universes pass through the pores of the skin of the Purusha. The Brahmas and other lords of the mundane worlds appear from the pores of Mahavishnu and remain alive for the duration of his one exhalation. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, of whom Mahavishnu is a portion of a plenary portion.
72. Where am I? A small creature of seven spans, the measure of my own hand. I am enclosed in a universe composed of material nature, the total material energy, false ego, ether, air, water, and earth. And what is your glory? Unlimited universes pass through the pores of your body just like particles of dust passing through the opening of a window. A part of a part of the whole of a whole is called Kala. Sri Balaram is the counterform of Lord Govinda. Balaram's own expansion is called Mahashankarshan, and his fragment, the Purusha, is counted as a Kala, or a part of a plenary portion. I say that this Kala is Mahavishnu. He is the Mahapurusha, who is the source of the other Purushas and who is all pervading. That's a strange one. He says, I say. Doesn't everyone say? Because earlier on,
What need does he have to say, I say? Is that what you're asking?
Huh?
What need does he have to say, I say? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. Is it just that no one else has said it before?
Somebody challenging. It sounds like somebody's challenging it.
Mm-hmm. Because when he's talking about Madhurya Ras, he gives it the name. He says, I call it Madhurya because it's sweet like honey. It's not the technical name. He gives it that name. I call it. Yeah. Garbhadakshaya and Shiradakshaya are both called Purushas. There are plenary portions of Karna Dakshaya Vishnu, the first Purusha, who is the abode of all the universes. Vishnu has three forms called Purushas. The first, Mahavishnu, is the creator of the total material energy, Mahat. The second is Garbhadakshaya, who is situated within each universe. And the third is Shiradakshaya, who lives in the heart of every living being. He who knows these three becomes liberated from the clutches of Maya. Although Karna Dakshaya, Karano Dashai.
That's three different forms.
It's called Akala of Lord Krishna. He is the source of Matsya Kurma and other incarnations. All these incarnations of Godhead are either plenary portions or parts of the plenary portions of the Purusha avatars, but Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. In every age, he protects the world through his different features when the world is disturbed by the enemies of Indra. The Purusha, Karana Dakshaya Vishnu, that's four, is the performer of creation, maintenance, and destruction. He manifests himself in many incarnations, for he is the maintainer of the world. That fragment of the Supreme Lord, known as the Mahapurusha, appears for the purpose of creation, maintenance, and annihilation, and is called an incarnation. That Mahapurusha is identical with the personality of Godhead. He is the original incarnation, the seed of all others, and the shelter of everything. The Purusha, Mahavishnu, is the primary incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, time, nature, prakriti, as cause and effect, the mind and material elements, false ego, the modes of nature, the senses, the universal form, complete independence, and the moving and non-moving beings appear subsequently as his opulences. In the beginning of the creation, the Lord expanded himself in the form of the Purusha incarnation, accompanied by all the ingredients of material creation. First, he created the 16 principal energies suitable for creation. This was for the purpose of manifesting the material universes. Although the Lord is the shelter of everything, and although all the universes rest in him, he, as the Supersoul, is also the support of everything. Although he is thus connected with the material energy in two ways, he does not have the slightest contact with it. This is the opulence of the Lord. Although situated within the material nature, he is never affected by the modes of nature. Similarly, those who have surrendered to him and have fixed their intelligence upon him are not influenced by the modes of nature. Thus, the Bhagavad Gita also states again and again that the absolute truth always possesses inconceivable power. Lord Krishna says, I am situated in the material world, and the world rests in me. But at the same time, I am not situated in the material world, nor does it rest in me in truth. Interesting translation. O Arjuna, you should know this is my inconceivable opulence. This is the meaning propagated by Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. That Mahapurusha, Karna Dakshaya Vishnu, is known as a plenary part of him who is Lord Nityananda Balaram, the favorite associate of Lord Chaitanya. I have thus explained the ninth verse, and now I shall explain the tenth. Please listen with rapt attention.
593. My full obeisances unto the feet of Sri Nityanandaran, a partial part of whom is Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. From the navel of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu sprouts the lotus that is the birthplace of Brahma, the engineer of the universe. The stem of that lotus is the resting place of the multitude of planets. After creating millions of universes, the first Purusha entered into each of them in the separate form as Sri Garbhodakshan. Entering the universe, he found only darkness with no place in which to reside. Thus he began to consider. Then he created water from the perspiration of his own body, and with that water filled half the universe. The universe measures 500 million yojanas. Its length and breadth are one and the same. After filling half the universe with water, he made his own residence therein and manifested the 14 worlds in the other half. There he manifested Vaikuntha as his own abode and rested in the waters of the bed of Lord Shesha. He lay there with Ananta as his bed. Lord Ananta is a divine serpent having thousands of heads, thousands of faces, thousands of eyes, and thousands of hands and feet. He is the seed of all incarnations and is the cause of the material world. From his navel grew a lotus flower which became the birthplace of Lord Brahma. Within the stem of that lotus were the 14 worlds. Thus the Supreme Lord as Brahma created the entire creation. And as Lord Vishnu he maintains the entire world. Lord Vishnu, being beyond all material attributes, has no touch with the material qualities. Assuming the form of Rudra, he destroys the creation. Thus creation, maintenance and dissolution are created by his will. He is the super soul, Hiranyagarbha, the cause of the material world. The universal form is conceived as his expansion. That Lord Narayan is a part of the plenary part of Lord Nityananda Balaram, who is the source of all incarnations. I have thus explained the 10th verse. Now please listen to the meaning of the 11th verse with all your mind. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the feet of Sri Nityananda Ram, whose secondary part is the Vishnu lying in the ocean of milk. That Shirodakshai Vishnu is the supersoul of all living entities and the maintainer of all the universes. Sheshanaga is his further subject. The material planets rest within the stem that grows from the lotus navel of Lord Narayan. Among these planets are 7 oceans. There, in part of the ocean of milk, lies Svetadvip, the abode of the sustainer, Lord Vishnu. He is the supersoul of all living entities. He maintains this material world, and he is its lord. In the ages and millenniums of Manu, he appears as different incarnations to establish the principles of real religion and vanquish the principles of irreligion. Unable to see him, the demigods go to the shore of the ocean of milk and offer prayers to him. He then descends to maintain the material world. His unlimited opulences cannot be counted. That Lord Vishnu is but a part of the plenary portion of Lord Nityananda, who is the source of all incarnations.
That same Lord Vishnu, in the form of Lord Sesha, plants upon his heads, although he does not know where they are, and he cannot feel their existence upon his heads. His thousands of extended hoods are adorned with dazzling jewels surpassing the sun. The universe, which measures 500 million yojanas in diameter, rests on one of his hoods like a mustard seed. That Anantasesh is the devotee incarnation of Godhead. He knows nothing but service to Lord Krishna. With his thousands of mouths, he sings the glories of Lord Krishna, but although he always sings in that way, he does not find an end to the qualities of the Lord. The four Kumaras hear Srimad Bhagavatam from his lips, and they in turn repeat it in the transcendental bliss of love of God. He serves Lord Krishna, assuming all the following forms: umbrella, slippers, bedding, pillow, garments, resting chair, residence, sacred bread, and throne. He is thus called Lord Sesha, for he has attained the ultimate end of servitude to Krishna. He takes many forms for the service of Krishna, and thus he serves the Lord. That person of whom Lord Ananta is a kala, or a part of a plenary part, is Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who therefore can know the pastimes of Lord Nityananda. From these conclusions, we can know the limits of truth of Lord Nityananda, or what glory is there in calling him Ananta. But I accept it as the truth because it has been said by devotees. Since he is the source of all incarnations, everything is possible in him. They know that there is no difference between the incarnation and the source of the incarnation. Previously, Lord Krishna was regarded in the light of different principles by different people. Some said that Krishna was directly Narayan, and some called him Lord Vamandev incarnate. Some called Lord Krishna an incarnation of Lord Shirodaksha. All these names are true, and nothing is impossible. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna appears, he is the shelter of all plenary parts. Thus, at that time, all his plenary portions join in him. In whatever form one knows the Lord, one speaks of him in that way. In this, there is no falsity, since everything is possible in Krishna. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has exhibited to everyone all the pastimes of all the various incarnations. Thus, Lord Nityananda has unlimited incarnations. In the transcendental emotion, he calls himself a servant of Lord Chaitanya. Sometimes he serves Lord Chaitanya as his guru, sometimes as his friend, and sometimes as his servant, just as Balaram played with Lord Krishna in these three different moves in Braja. Playing like a bull, Lord Balaram fights with Krishna head to head, and sometimes Lord Krishna massages the feet of Lord Balaram. He considers himself a servant and knows Krishna to be his master. Thus, he regards himself as a fragment of his plenary portion. Acting just like ordinary boys, they played like roaring bulls, they fought each other, and they imitated the calls of various animals.
I haven't read that anywhere where they fight as bulls. Krishna Skara as Goswami says it.
It's in Vrindavan, another Vrindavan song.
Where they fight as bulls?
They butt heads each other. Yeah. It's good.
Oh.
They actually says butting heads with one another.
That's a good service for you there.
Yeah. We read in just one point, you know, talking about saying butting heads and so on. We read last night in the Krishna Lila Stava that he's writing about Krishna and his boy pastimes, passing urine on the floor. And the way Gopi translates it is, you know, the elderly Gopis told Yasoda, your son comes and pees on the floor of our house.
That's how he translates it?
Pees. And I was thinking that maybe the acharyas from that time have always, maybe Shukadeva Goswami really used like a word which really just means pee, but the acharyas after that time to like keep Shukadeva in his position, they used some fancy word, but Gopi really understood what he was talking about and just put peas. And he cited it as a Bhagavan quote. Peas.
His commentary.
I feel good using the language I use.
Well, he said the same one.
Okay.
Uh, 139, right?
138.
Sometimes when Lord Krishna's elder brother, Lord Balaram, felt tired after playing and lay his head on the lap of a cowherd boy, Lord Krishna himself served him by massaging his feet. Who is this mystic power, and where has she come from? Is she a demigod or a demoness? She must be the elusive energy of my master, Lord Krishna, for who else can bewilder me? What is the value of the throne to Lord Krishna? The masters of the various planetary systems accept the dust of his lotus feet on their crowned heads. That dust makes the holy places sacred, and even Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lakshmi, and I myself, who are all portions of his plenary portion, eternally carry that dust on our heads. Lord Krishna alone is the supreme controller, and all others are his servants. They dance as he makes them do so.
Thus, Lord Chaitanya is also the only controller. All others are his associates or servants. His elders, such as Lord Nityananda, Advaita Acharya, and Shivas Thakur, as well as his other devotees, whether his juniors, equals, or superiors, are all his associates who help him in his pastimes. Lord Gauranga fulfills his aims with their help. Sri Advaita Acharya and Srila Nityananda Prabhu, who are our plenary parts of the Lord, are his principal associates. With these two, the Lord performs his pastimes in various ways. Lord Advaita Acharya is directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although Lord Chaitanya accepts him as his preceptor, Advaita Acharya is a servant of the Lord. I cannot describe the truth of Advaita Acharya. He has delivered the entire world by making Lord Krishna descend. Lord Nityananda Swarup formerly appeared as Lakshman and served Lord Ramachandra as his younger brother. The activities of Lord Ram were full of suffering, but Lakshman, of his own accord, tolerated that suffering. As a younger brother, he could not stop Lord Ram from his resolution, and so he remained silent, although unhappy in his mind. When Lord Krishna appeared, he, Balaram, became his elder brother to serve him to his heart's content and make him enjoy all sorts of happiness. Sri Ram and Sri Lakshman, who are plenary portions of Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram respectively, entered into them at the time of Krishna's and Balaram's appearance. Krishna and Balaram present themselves as younger brother and elder brother, but in the scriptures they are described as the original Supreme Personality of Godhead and his expansion. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who by his various plenary portions appears in the world in different forms and incarnations, such as Lord Ram, but who personally appears in his supreme original form as Lord Krishna. Lord Chaitanya is the same Lord Krishna, and Lord Nityananda is Lord Balaram. Lord Nityananda fulfills all of Lord Chaitanya's desires. The ocean of Lord Nityananda's glories is infinite and unfathomable. Only by his mercy can I touch even a drop of it. Please listen to another glory of his mercy. He made a falling living entity climb to the highest limit. To disclose it is not proper, for it should be kept as confidential as the Vedas. Yet I shall speak of it to make his mercy known to all. O Lord Nityananda, I write of your mercy out of great exaltation. Please forgive me for my offenses. Lord Nityananda Prabhu had a servant named Sri Miniketana Ramdas, who was a reservoir of love. 162.
This is a nice pastime.
Yeah.
At my house there was Sankirtan day and night, and therefore he visited there, having been invited. Absorbed in emotional love, he sat in my courtyard and all the Vaishnavas bowed down at his feet. In a joyful mood of love of God, he sometimes climbed upon the shoulder of someone offering obeisances, and sometimes he struck another one with his flute or mildly slapped him. When someone saw the eyes of Miniketan Ramdas, tears would automatically flow from his own eyes, for a constant shower of tears flowed from the eyes of Miniketan Ramdas. Sometimes there were eruptions of ecstasy like Kadamba flowers on some parts of his body, and sometimes one limb would be stunned while another would be trembling. Whenever he shouted aloud the name of Nityananda, the people around him were filled with great wonder and astonishment. One respectable Brahmin named Sri Gunarnava Mishra was serving the Devi. When Miniketana was seated in the yard, this Brahmin did not offer him respect. Seeing this, Sri Ramdas became angry and spoke, "Here I find the second Rama Harshana Sutta, who did not stand to show honor when he saw Lord Balaram." After saying this, he danced and sang to his heart's content, but the Brahmin did not become angry, for he was then serving the Lord. At the end of the festival, Miniketana Ramdas went away offering his blessings to everyone. at that time he had some controversy with my brother. My brother had firm faith in Lord Chaitanya, but only a dim glimmer of faith in Lord Nityananda. Knowing this, Sri Ramdas felt unhappy in his mind. I then rebuked my brother. These two brothers, I told him, are like one body. There are identical manifestations. If you do not believe in Lord Nityananda, you will fall down. If you have faith in one but disrespect the other, your logic is like the logic of accepting half a hen. And then the Sanskrit fell in here. Adha kukutanyai, literally half a hen logic. It would be better to be an atheist by slighting both brothers than a hypocrite by believing in one and slighting the other. Thus Sri Ramdas broke his flute in anger and went away, and at that time my brother fell down. I have thus described the power of the servants of Lord Nityananda. Now I shall describe another characteristic of his mercy. That night Lord Nityananda appeared to me in a dream because of my good quality in chastising my brother. In the village of Jamatapura, which is near Naihati, Lord Nityananda appeared to me in a dream. I fell at his feet, offering my obeisances, and he then placed his own lotus feet upon my head. Arise, get up, he told me again and again. Upon rising, I was greatly astonished to see his beauty. He had a glossy blackish complexion, and his tall, strong, heroic stature made him seem like Cupid himself. He had beautifully formed hands, arms, and legs, and eyes like lotus flowers. He wore a silk cloth with a silk turban on his head. It was interesting here. He had a glossy blackish.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, actually. I was thinking, glossy blackish.
He's so absorbed in Krishna.
He says the only sound vibration coming out of his mouth is Krishna, I think.
He wore golden earrings on his ears and golden armlets and bangles. He wore tinkling anklets on his feet and a garland of flowers around his neck. His body was anointed with sandalwood pulp, and he was nicely decorated with tilak. His movements surpassed those of a maddened elephant. His face was more beautiful than millions upon millions of moons, and his teeth were like pomegranate seeds because of his chewing betel. His body moved to and fro, right and left, for he was absorbed in ecstasy. He chanted Krishna Krishna in a deep voice. His red stick moving in his hand, he seemed like a maddened lion. All around the four sides of his feet were bumblebees. His devotees dressed like cowherd boys surrounded his feet like so many bees and also chanted Krishna Krishna, absorbed in ecstatic love. Some of them played horns and flutes, and others danced and sang. Some of them offered betel nuts, and others waved chamra fans about him. Thus I saw such opulence in Lord Nityananda's food. His wonderful form, qualities, and pastimes were all transcendental. I was overwhelmed with transcendental ecstasy, not knowing anything else. Then Lord Nityananda smiled and spoke to me as follows: O my dear Krishna Das, do not be afraid. Go to Vrindavan, for there you will attain all things. After saying this, he directed me towards Vrindavan by waving his hand. Then he disappeared with his associates. I fainted and fell to the ground. My dream broke, and when I regained consciousness, I saw that morning had come. I thought about what I had seen and heard and concluded that the Lord had ordered me to proceed to Vrindavan at once. That very second, I started for Vrindavan, and by his mercy, I reached there in great happiness. All glory to Lord Nityananda Balaram. By his mercy, I obtained shelter in the transcendental abode of Lord Vrindavan. All glory to the merciful Lord Nityananda. By his mercy, I obtained shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sanatana. By his mercy, I obtained the shelter of the great personality, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. And by his mercy, I found the refuge of Sri Swarupa Damodar Goswami. By the mercy of Sanatana Goswami, I have learned the final conclusion of devotional service, and by the grace of Sri Goswami, I have tasted the highest nectar of devotional service. All glory to the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. By his mercy, I have attained Radha Govinda. I am more sinful than Jagan Mada, and even lower than the worms in stew. Anyone who hears my name loses the results of all pious activities. Anyone who utters my name becomes sinful. Who in this world but Nityananda could show his mercy to such an abominable person as me? Because he is intoxicated by ecstatic love and is an incarnation of mercy, he does not distinguish between the good and the bad. He delivers all those who fall down before him. Therefore, he has delivered such a sinful and fallen person as me. Although I am sinful and I am most fallen, he has conferred upon me the lotus feet of Sri Goswami. I am not fit to speak all these confidential words about my visiting Lord Madan Gopal and Lord Govinda. I wonder whether there's something happened here. Anyway, we'll stop there at that.
That's the end of the chapter?
No, it just stops that thing, but now he's talking about Madan Gopal and how he'll get mercy. He's only 16. Krishna Das Kaviraj was born.
He's what?
He was only 16 years old.
When he had that dream?
When he went to Vrindavan, he was 16.
Oh, really? I thought he was an old man.
No. He lived there until he became an old man.
Oh, wow. I thought he was an old man when he left. What is the reference for that?
I don't know, it's history, standard history.
Did you know that?
Gopal Bhargava Swami was 13 years old when he came to Vrindavan. Met Prakashananda Saraswati of Kanyavan.
How old was Jiva Goswami when he met the Yananda?
That I don't know.
I think he was relatively young also.
He was young. He went to Navadvip, met Lord Nityananda, and then
he studied
for quite a while.
Yeah.
In Benares, Varanasi. He stayed for a long time, just lived there in Vatican.
Because when he compiled this, he was very old.
Yeah, that's clear.